last three straight in Melbourne, trained by Gerry O'Keefe. On two of those occasions, he's defeated the Boomstayer Burn one down, hands down. And I just think from box number two, he's going to continue a great year for Gerry O'Keefe, who took out the Group 1 Sandown Cup at odds of 50-1 with bells a-ringing. Well, ring the bell won't be any price like that in the national distance final. I think Victoria will take it out, even though we still claim Anthony Azzopardi is a New South Welshman. Zambora Brocchi will be representing Victoria. They won it last year. They won both events last year with Fernando Bale and Sweet It Is. And I think they win both of them tomorrow night at Angle Park with Zambora Brocchi in the sprint and Ring the Bell in the distance.
Ring the Bell currently at 2:40. I know you'll be there for Sky Racing 1, which means we'll have it all as well. If you're at the tracks, driving around, wherever you might be, it'll be covered. Sky Racing 1 as well as Sky Sports Radio tomorrow night with a big coverage of National Night at Angle Park. Thanks a lot, Duke. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Ben.
Mark Duclos there, and Amanda Rando from Harness Racing New South Wales. Amanda, what's going on over the weekend?
Oh, there's plenty of top harness racing action across the weekend. Big night at Menangle this Saturday night. Obviously, it's the last metropolitan meeting for the season in New South Wales, and there's a couple of listed classic races with those Menangle Country Series final. There's also the Group 3 Vic Frost Cup, and it's nice to note that Vic Frost will actually be at Menangle tomorrow night. Yeah, he's got a horse nominated in one of those Country Series finals, so he's actually got a horse racing too, which is good to see. There's also the Group 3 Hanno Direct Trotters Discretionary Handicaps. They're a big night at Menangle, but also interstate too, Andrew. We've got obviously the Breeders' Crown, so big night at Melton tonight with a few races, and obviously an even bigger day on Sunday at Melton.
Yeah, and what is it, 8 Group 1s at Melton on Sunday afternoon. Greg Hayes will be there, and we'll have all the interviews and material for us Sunday afternoon from Melton in Victoria. Amanda, the podcast is there, Trots Talk. It's on our Sky Sports Radio webpage. I know you've spoken a lot about the Breeders' Crown, and tomorrow morning Amanda's back just after 10:30 with all the winners for Menangle tomorrow night as well. So looking forward to it all unfolding. Have a good weekend, eh?
You will do, and I'll speak to the listeners tomorrow morning.
Look forward to it. Amanda Rando talking harness racing from Harness Racing New South Wales. That's it for Tab Talk this morning. Back on air 6:30 tomorrow morning. A heavy 9 at Rose Hill. Let's hope the sunshine stays around. Down in Melbourne at Caulfield, it's Memsie Day tomorrow, the Group 1. That track likely to stay in the good 4 range as it is right now. Stand by next. Plenty of NRL, plenty of racing. Tab Talk coming up. 10:30, all the boys from Formline will look at the feature races at Rose Hill tomorrow, and then all the previews for today's racing on the early mail at 11.
Sky Sports Radio covers Group 1 harness action from Victoria this Sunday.
They left him alone in the first lap, and they're not going to see which way went in the last. Tingira Beach is racing away, and Tingira Beach is going to coast home for an easy win.
Tabcorp Park Melton hosts 8 Group 1 Breeders' Crown Grand Finals, with the Aussies determined to repel the New Zealand contenders. Join Greg Hayes with all the late mail and interviews this Sunday afternoon on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
All the King's Horses, the Bart Cummings story, is on DVD.
Everything was done the right way. It was done his way.
He had absolute faith in what he did.
He took horses to another level and made them champions.
Demanded excellence at every stage of the training process.
1-4 in a Melbourne Cup. That's as good as Bradman's batting average.
We commemorate the legacy of the Cup's King on the extended unseen DVD version with bonus features.
Winning life well lived on a betting ticket.
Available from August 18.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
7 just prior to Cow Pass Hill Road. We're looking at a car broken down in the breakdown lane there, southbound. We've got reports of a building fire, Pacific Highway, Beaconsfield Parade, Linfield. Now, this is impacting 2 of 3 northbound lanes through that area. We've got services attending that one. We've got a large pothole, the Sydney CBD, Hickson Road there at Napoleon, and another truck breakdown, Cecil Hills, Elizabeth Drive, just above the M7 westbound. Get your free guide to maximising your personal injury compensation claim now, available from Gerard Maloof and Partners Compensation Lawyers. Visit gmp.net.au. I'm Sylvia. on Sky Sports Radio.
Sydney comes to life this September through November at the Sydney Spring Carnival.
And they're off and racing.
Big trackside Saturday, September 10th, when Group 1 Racing returns to Rosehill Gardens with a DeBortley Wines Golden Roast Stakes. Cheer our best three-year-olds home as they strive for the lion's share of a cool $1 million. It's also your chance to splash your favourite silks and enjoy the finest hospitality. Book your tickets today at theatc.com.au. The Sydney Spring Carnival. It's where Sydney comes to life.
In the world of standard bred sires, Lincoln Royal has built quite a reputation. This stunning looking son of Mac 3, bred on the same cross as North America's leading sire, Some Beach Somewhere, has certainly impressed the experts. Cran Dalgetty, Bruce Negus and Colin DeFilippi have all hailed his progeny as some of the best in their stables. At just $1,650, Lincoln Royal is outstanding value. For more info, visit lincolnroyal.com.
Sky Sports Radio heads to Angle Park, Adelaide this Saturday night for Greyhound Racing's Nationals.
Ben Teke in full cry coming to the turn, led by five to Dandy Jack and then Knight Sprite. But it's all Ben Teke. He's heading to the City of Churches. Ben Teke romped in by nine.
Ben Teke represents New South Wales in the Sprint Grand Final and Cardiology in the Distance Championship. Catch Mark Duclos with the late mail and interviews Saturday night from Angle Park on your racing leader. Sky Sports Radio.
They're off.
Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott. A life changer.
It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. At 8 past 10, Sean Cosgrove and a tab at Condon.au, Glenn Munsey. Morning, Muns. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, Shorty boy. How are you this morning?
Fighting fit. Thank you, mate. Looking forward to a big weekend. We're going to look at the NRL.
Hey,
opener.
When is there not a big weekend, Sean?
Well, exactly. This time of year is fantastic, isn't it? There's so much on. Yeah. I mean, we get the footy finals, all that sort of stuff right around the country, and then the spring racing is really starting to boot up, which is brilliant. Seeing the champs back in action like Winks last weekend, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and a big day tomorrow, Run to the Rose Day at Rose Hill, hearing Brett Devine. You know, we've got all those new renovations at Rose Hill, all the new areas there inside. It's a beautiful day today. Let's hope that the weather continues. You can get inside if you want to. You can be outside and get up close and personal with the horses, but all the good facilities inside there, all the racing coming to you from around the country. Brought to you by Sky, of course, and you'll be able to have an investment there and hopefully turn a little into a lot.
Exactly. Going to look at NRL, first of all, and wrapped from Channel 9, Yvonne Sampson joining us now. Morning, Yvonne. How are you?
Oh, good morning, gents. How are you?
Fighting fit, thank you. What about the Cowboys last night? Are they back on track? Is it full steam ahead?
Oh, Jonathan Thurston. He's just an incredible player, isn't he? This is the same guy that the Bulldogs let stroll out the door some 12 years ago.
He was too small.
He was too small. He was too much trouble. Probably didn't have much potential. Just turns out to be one of the greatest we've ever seen. He came back to haunt them in a big way last night. Back to Belmore. The North Queensland bus, it was over an hour late getting to the Belmore Sports Grounds. I don't know if you heard. It was stuck in the notorious Sydney traffic. You can imagine Canterbury Road would have been chock-a-block. But Cowboys, they're unbelievable.
Where was he coming from? They usually stay at the Novotel at the airport, the Cowboys.
Yeah, they do.
Where'd you go? Via Wollongong?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. just via the northern beaches, probably the quickest way.
Must have been his first night on the route. Doesn't he know all the back streets here? Slip down through Sydenham and over the top there and round the back of Canterbury Racecourse and come in that way to Belmore.
Oh, see, there you go. You could be the bus driver.
He drives taxis at night, Bonnie. That's how he knows.
Uber man. I've got to find something to get an earn, Bonnie.
Absolutely. Get a bit of a sling from the premiers. But 24-16 was the final score of Belmore. Very impressive display. Ethan Lowe was unbelievable. Jason Taumalolo has to be one of the best ball runners in the game at the moment. But I don't know about you, gents, but my favourite part was when Greg Eastwood accidentally found himself in fresh air. Mm. He didn't know what to do. And I love it when the big fellas wind up and score a try. It's so good.
I noticed a comment on Twitter this morning, Vonnie, that they said they timed his last 100 with a calendar.
He probably still outrun me, sadly.
Later on, he stood on a snail. I said, what'd you do that for? He said, he's been following me around all day.
But, Is that the end of the chances for the Dogs? You know, now out of the top four, we hear everyone tell you 20-odd years, no side has come outside the top four to win the National Rugby League Premiership. And the worry for the Dogs is they've got to go up against Souths in the last round.
Yeah, they do. And Souths have been finding some form. They've been restless at Redfern all year, but just the last few weeks, they've been starting to look good. Yeah, the Bulldogs, I don't know what's going on. To be honest, if I'm being completely honest, I haven't really been impressed through this entire season with Canterbury. They've been hard to get a read on. Des Hasler is extraordinary, though. I mean, I think he's missed one final series in his entire coaching career. So if anyone can get them to a serious consideration for that premiership, it is Des Hasler. But yeah, I don't know if they've done enough for my mind. But North Queensland, they're back into the top four now and going great guns.
What was Paul Green's reaction to the win? I saw one quote where he said he wasn't sort of getting carried away.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's trademark Greeny, isn't it? How good that they're able to do all their preparation up in North Queensland, away from that fishbowl of the Sydney media. And yeah, look, he's not one to get carried away early. I think even after the premiership, he was pretty measured. but I mean, that's just Greeny. And the Cowboys haven't been extraordinary. If you compare them to how they were sort of going this time last year, I think a similar sort of vein of form, but they just looked a little bit more impressive last year. So, no, Greeny's completely right not to get too carried away just yet. So who was impressive? That kid that they found, Cohen Hett. Imagine having just a gun like that sitting on the bench just at your disposal at any point. He was unbelievable when he came in for Ethan Lowe. But, Jonathan Thurston, he's enormous, and he'll continue to make sure that they play deep into September.
Desi's actually got an awful record at Belmore. The boys in the Big Sports Breakfast spoke to him during the week, and they said, you're looking forward to going back to Belmore and everything like that? He said, I've won one game there.
Yeah. Well, did you see the hairstyle he was running when he used to play for the Bulldogs? That was terrible. He looked like he had all these little dreadlocks sticking out. It looked like he'd been electrocuted, or he was like, I don't know, an extra out of Edward Scissorhands or something. He wasn't in good form there. But yeah, it is a tough place to go and play. The crowd are right on top of you.
Well, this getting back to these local grounds, do you think it's been a success for the Dogs, the matches they've taken there?
Well, not form-wise, it hasn't. I don't know what the actual win-loss ratio is, but we did see last year, remember that Monday night, and it just went bonkers at Belmore. I think, from memory, it was a Fox game, and they had the whole playing squad there saluting the fans on the hill, and it was just rugby league at its rank best. Like, that's what you want to see. And you don't get that sort of one-on-one interaction at an ANZ so much. You know, Leichhardt's the same. I love going and standing on the hill at Leichhardt. It's good, but I don't know the future of these sort of boutique, if I can be so bold as to call them that, rugby league fields. I mean, Parramatta this weekend, they've got their very final home game at Pirtek, their home ground, before it's bulldozed, and they'll be playing out of ANZ for the next few years. But yeah, the smaller grounds, there's a charm to them, and I like them. I don't know how much longer we'll have them around.
It's funny, isn't it? Everyone says the same thing. Well, they go there and love that style of the atmosphere, the closeness, the whole lot. But I suppose from a corporate point of view of making money, the clubs struggle, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and, you know, for a fan's experience, and that's what it comes down to at the end of the day, you know, if you go along to these sort of the grounds, even Brookie, you stand there, you wait an eon to get a beer, a mixed drink beer, you wait an eon to line up for the facilities, the toilets, and, you know, even the players will say that the dressing sheds are a little bit rudimentary. There's, you know, hot and cold water, you know, not when you want it. It's just not a luxury to go to these grounds, but they do have a certain character to them, and I think that's the appeal.
Well, speaking of luxury and everything like that, what about Friday night football tonight? It's going to be luxury just to be at the ground. But as a ground, Amy Park in Melbourne, and even if it was in Brisbane, they're just a different league of grounds to watch a game of footy at, aren't they?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. This is top-shelf football for our Friday night. I read on the Storm website they're going to do this blackout, which has been quite popular down there. So Amy Park has got those great big arches, you know, those sort of, it almost looks like a clamshell, and they project the images of the players up onto the arch of the roof, and the entire stadium goes into blackout and they have all little purple lights. So there's like a sea of purple lights for the purple army and images of Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith and all those sort of guys up there. And it's a great atmosphere. The Storm are just ultimate professionals. I sometimes call them Storm bots because they're almost rugby league robots. They don't make mistakes hardly. They just keep forging on. They're like the Terminator with under Bellamy, and I think they've won 9 of their last 10 against Brisbane. So a win tonight would really do a major step forward in wrapping up that minor premiership. The Broncos seem to be out of their sort of form slump. Did you guys see Vunivalu at Brookvale last week? 4 tries in the first half, the winger from the Storm. So he goes up against Corey Oates tonight, which is Corey's this wonderful corn-fed boy from a cattle station out at Baralaba out in western Queensland. So to see Vunivalu and Oates go at it, that'll be worth the price of admission.
For people who may not have been to Amy Park, when you go there and see Storm play, it's like a cross between going to the theatre or a rock concert.
Yeah, really, that's a Isn't great it? Example. Yeah.
You don't know whether you go to the opera or go to see Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, it is a great show and they do it really, really well. And I think that's what also the Melbourne crowd, they are an educated sporting crowd and they're not going to settle for just a lukewarm meat pie. Like they want the full works because just across the road in that precinct they've got the mighty MCG and they can turn on a show when they want to as well. So the Melbourne Storm fans are an educated lot and they want to be entertained.
Yeah, for you statophiles out there, talking about Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk has won 21 of the 25 games he's played against Brisbane. Cameron Smith has won 22 of the 29 games he's played against Brisbane. And another one for you, this is Sam Thaiday's 250th match in the NRL. He's never scored a try against the Melbourne Storm, and that's the only side he's never scored a try against.
Goodness.
Yeah. And if you want to have something on him, he's $26 to score the first try. He's $17 to score the first Brisbane try tonight. And he's $5.50 just to score a try in the game, with Melbourne the $1.50 favourite for the match tonight and Brisbane as the $2.65 outsider. See, I've been doing a bit of research into this, Sean.
Incredible.
Yeah.
He's obviously got someone working for him, Ronnie.
Yeah, the internet.
Can we get you on tonight? Because those stats are outstanding. Move over, David Middleton.
Oh, well, see, I spent many, many years in the commentary box up there behind Middo and then the boys, and it sort of rubbed off on me.
It's a great Middo.
That's why he's not there anymore.
No.
Now, the Eagles and the Raiders, we look to Saturday. What do you make of this?
Yeah, Brookvale on a Saturday, I think kickoff's around about 3. Look, the Raiders took a massive hit. Blake Austin broke his hand during training this week. He had surgery on it yesterday. And with that, many people thought that was Ricky's Raiders done and dusted. They're not willing to totally commit that is season over for Blake Austin because, these guys, they recover in an incredible amount of time nowadays. So he may, depending on how long they survive in the playoffs, we may see him again. Sam Williams comes into the halves with Aiden Caesar. But the Raiders have got a tricky sort of run. I mean, Manly have found form towards the back end of the year. They've also had Jamie Lyon announce his retirement this week. So there's a new era at Brookie. With no Jamie Lyon, there's a question mark over Brett Stewart and Steve Maddie going forward. And they've got these guys, the Trbojevic boys, and they are just incredible. They are certainly the future of that club. In fact, most people were sort of hinting that they would sort of get the leadership over Daly Cherry Evans. But the Raiders, they've got Manly tomorrow, and then the Tigers next week. So it'll be tough for them as they head towards the semi-finals. But I like the Raiders. I love what they've been doing. They've been very impressive. They've just sort of, I reckon they can get the job done against Manly tomorrow, but certainly it'll be telling without Blake Austin, who's been so conducive to a lot of their attack and just the creativity that they've got.
Is the Raiders' biggest danger, Vonnie, the weight of expectation? We're starting to talk about 84, what they did there and everything like that, but they showed a great deal of fight last week. To give Parramatta that start, I know Parramatta aren't flying, but they didn't seem to panic and just grafted away, got themselves back into the game. And that was probably a big turning point for them, although, that loss of Austin during the week is going to be a massive minus.
Yeah, I think it's been wonderful to watch the Raiders mature over the season. And you're right, they didn't panic. And I think earlier this year we would have seen them sort of, take silly options and get ahead of themselves a little bit given that situation. But They seem to have a bit of confidence about them. Again, they're out of that Sydney spotlight, but certainly they'll be feeling the attention on them now. And Ricky Stewart, he's wonderful to watch. He comes down to the sideline, and you can, you know, because you hear a lot of the fans yelling. When I'm sitting down on the sideline with Freddie sometimes, and you can hear the fans, and you know they've got some good chants. And then there's sometimes just a voice that has like a more of a hurt or an urgency to it. And you turn around, and it's Ricky. He's come down to the sideline. He's kicking chairs. He's yelling out. But he's you talk about the theatre of down in Melbourne. You could just have a camera on Ricky Stewart for the full 80 minutes, and you'd be entertained.
Yeah, well, they're 150 favourites, Canberra. Manly's at 265 for that match. Yeah, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon there at Brookie.
Now, the Gold Coast, Titans, Hayne, Panthers going all right. Can the Panthers tip them out or not?
Yeah, this is a really tough one. This is going to play havoc with everyone's tipping, I think, this week. CBUS Super Stadium, 5:30 kickoff. Jared Hayne during the week, boys. I don't know if you caught up with this, but the big news is that this will be the first time we've seen him back at fullback, which is where we're used to seeing him sort of return the ball strongly. And he has that beautiful upright run, and he gets a bit of speed up, and you know, no doubt he's lost none of that devastating step. But during the week, he sort of commented on the media and everyone maybe questioning some of the antics that he's brought back with him from the NFL. And he said, well, you know, guys, even when you read the Bible, everyone hated Jesus, which I don't know if he was directly comparing himself to Jesus, but it certainly was an easy thread to link. But, yeah, I mean, Jared Hayne, he's a superstar. I think he's exactly what the Gold Coast needed, but... yeah, he's certainly creating a lot of chatter. But the Titans and Penrith is so exciting to watch. Nathan Cleary, Bryce Cartwright, Matt Moylan, when those three sort of, and they all sort of play as halves. You know, even though Matt Moylan's got the number one on his back, he sort of chimes in with a little bit of work, and that gives Bryce Cartwright the space to sort of play his natural game, which probably is more of a second rower. But yeah, the Penrith are really, really exciting. I love watching them. But again, they're very young. So, you know, they can drop their bundle. They haven't, of recent weeks, they've been very, very impressive. The Titans, though, they're in eighth spot, and they've got the Cowboys next week. So they need to get serious very, very quickly.
Well, yeah. Bonnie, back in 66, John Lennon said the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. I'd have him a short price favourite ahead of Jay Hayne. I'll give you the tip now.
Exactly.
I'm tipping Jared wasn't ingesting what John Lennon was back in those days.
No, probably, no.
He wouldn't pass the Asada test.
No, he wouldn't.
No, well, the Gold Coast are 177 favourite in that game. Penrith 210. That's the tightest match of the round tomorrow afternoon at 5:30. And then 7:30 tomorrow night, the Sharkies has the bubble burst against the Sydney Roosters. Cronulla 160, the Roosters 240.
No, don't say it. The people from the Shire will be out after you with pitch.
Don't worry, they don't have to travel far to find me.
Southern Cross Group Shire, down at Southern Cross Group Stadium down in the Shire. This will be a great one for tomorrow evening. Michael Ennis during the week, the ultimate menace, he said, guys, just block out the haters. He's been doing his entire game. They're very keen to point out they haven't peaked too early. You know, obviously they haven't had Gal. He's been suffering with that calf problem that he picked up. Yeah, I don't know. This is a tough one. Cronulla and the Roosters. The Roosters have been very, very impressive of late. And Mitchell Pearce said during the week he swapped beers and boozy nights for bushwalks and growing flowers in his garden. So he's found a bit of peace, and he's playing very well. I mean, you have to admit the Roosters are enormously different side with him, and they take on a different shape when he's on his game. The Cronulla Sharks, they just need to start winning to get all the, as Michael Ennis calls them, haters off their back, I think.
Bonnie, the last three, are they just simply Warriors, Rabbitohs, Eels? Are they pretty clear cut, or do you see an upset in those?
Well, the Warriors and West Tigers, I mean, they're almost mirror images of each other sometimes. They're sometimes brilliant and sometimes just awful, but... McFadden, the Kiwi coach, said just this morning that he wasn't distracted by all that Kieran Foran chatter that's going on there. I don't know. Look, it's difficult to predict what you're going to get with the Warriors. Maybe Warriors win Sunday afternoon, Newcastle South. It has to be South. Hold on, Newcastle. It's nearly done. And then on Monday night, the Eels. Yeah, I mean, they've had those dramas, but certainly playing pretty good football, and the Dragons probably just a little bit too predictable.
Is it true that you made Souths and Newcastle the Channel 9 game on Sunday afternoon because it's Old Boys Day and it's the only way you get Joey to the match?
Actually, I think Joey's going to get a bit of an early mark from the Sunday footy show, so he gets to head up the highway a little bit earlier. But, yeah, it shouldn't be too bad at Hunter Stadium. I mean, I can't imagine a season more challenging for Nathan Brown than the one that's unfolded for the Knights. Luke Keary, he's no chance for South. He's still struggling with that hamstring problem. But Michael Maguire's men, they're on the brink of completing one of the club's worst seasons in 10 years. They've got just 7 wins to their name. I think back in 2006 they won 3 or something to that effect.
Yeah, there's no need to keep going on about it. Okay,
it's been bad enough. Sorry about that.
I don't bag Brisbane or North Queensland or one of, you know, whatever side you want to support up there. Flip from one to the other just because they come from Queensland. Right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be more sensitive around.
All right. It was a good Monday night, though, I must admit. It was good Monday night.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they were really good. Yeah. And, you know, I think they've just... Whatever's been going on at Redfern, they've just left their run far too late this year. But, I mean, again, they can start building towards next season. Don't worry, they've got the Mad Monday planned, no doubt.
Mm. Right, Vonnie, good to catch up. We really appreciate it. And have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. I'm off to Melbourne. I've got to pack all the things that I own. I think it's a bit grim down there today.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
beware Chapel Street shops and a few other things. Vonnie's on the way.
Okay. I will. I'll give it a wide berth.
All right. Good on you, Vonnie. Yvonne Sampson there joining us. Channel 9. Appreciate her this morning looking at rugby league. 27 after 10. Sky Sports Radio racing today at Scone. Hey, Josh Parr joining us now. Mun's morning, Josh.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning,
Hello, Hello, mate. You're a driver or you're driving yourself?
Driving, so hopefully I don't...
You don't what? He's gone.
You might, don't know if he's hit another bit of water on the road.
No.
Yeah.
You there, Josh?
Hello.
Hello, mate. We got you, I think. We'll go through it quick. The first, you're on one today by Prince Arthur for Gerald Ryan. Answer, what do you know about it?
Preparation and galloping one time out of Hawkesbury. Not enough horse, but... Probably wants a little bit of ground if he's going to make the grade.
Right, just be very wary of Cool Baby there, because I know the bloke that owns it. Don't go knocking it down or holding it in or doing anything to it, because he can get quite violent.
Yeah, I've got a fair idea who owns the loop too, and I can only imagine how nervous and how sweaty he's going to be come race time.
And how nervous you'll be if you beat it. You'll never get interviewed again, all right? Race two today. You're on Blue Phantom here. And this horse, you actually won on it 2 starts ago. Oops, I think we're having troubles with reception, with Josh.
Evidently in a bad area.
In a bad area going through, unfortunately, with the weather. The lines drop out quite a bit there.
Well, you just mentioned Josh's rides, and I'll go through what prices are, right, Sean. In the first, Answer is a $2.90 second favourite behind LABN. We better tell people, Cool Baby, we're referring. Sean is actually a part owner of Cool Baby in the first, and good luck to yourself, Greg Bennett, and all the other owners with Cool Baby in the first. Blue Phantom.
We got Josh back. We might have him back there. You there, Josh?
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I'm on the road.
No worries, mate. Yeah, we're saying Blue Phantom, you won on it 2 starts ago, and a good second. It's last out of Gosford.
Yeah, racing in fantastic form and loves the wet track, so he'll be very hard to beat up there. I'm looking forward to getting on his back today.
Right, well, he's a $2.10 favourite in the second. You're a $1.45 favourite in the Jockeys Challenge, and sometimes that puts the moz on a lot of blokes because your rides actually look too good.
Yeah, the bloody Jockeys Challenge, eh? I reckon there's more beaten favourites in the Jockeys Challenge than winners, that's for sure. So hopefully today I can... defy that theory.
Okay, well, let's hope we don't put the moz on you.
Excellent.
All right, now, in the fourth, Damage, it has handled a heavy at Beaumont, run a good second on a heavy 10 3 starts ago.
Yeah, it had a new stable now with Alan Denham and previously with Chris Waller. I've seen a bit of this horse and big, rangy type, and he'll need a little bit of room, but I think he's in the right race today. His form looks good for today's race. I'm keen on him.
Yeah, he's a $2.20 favourite. Sunday Swindler, the second pick there at $2.80.
Righto, race five, Graffelli, you're on for Rodney Bailey, and this hasn't been getting beaten all that far.
Well, this last start at Canterbury was really good. 1,900 back to a mile, probably a little bit interesting as far as the form goes, but he's run it not over 1,900 at Canterbury behind Elysian was very good. And Canterbury to Scone, it's quite a drop, isn't it? So yeah. Keen on his chances too.
Yeah, well he's actually Irish bred, but finished up in Hong Kong. I think you'll find, before Rodney picked him up there, so he might be just taking a little bit of time to get acclimatised back here in Australia. He did start his career, actually, in Hong Kong, so you might as well have a chat to him about frequent fly miles. He's seen plenty of the world.
Seen more than me.
Now, the 8's, you got a nice ride here for Rod Northam Lelou, which won the other day for Robert Thompson and in the heavy at Musselbrook.
Yeah, can't wait to get on this filly, because she obviously won very impressively at Musselbrook on a wet track. Did a little. There's a funny race early on. It took a while for Robert to find his position and get the horse to travel, but when she did, she looked a winner from a long way out. Rod Northam stable going really well, and you know, I respect his horses all the time, whether I'm on them or opposition. So as I said, I can't wait to get on her and just get a feel of where she might be going. But on a win at Musselbrook, I dare say she'll handle these today.
Yeah, well, he had it in at Newcastle tomorrow. It was in a benchmark 60 at Newcastle, 1,150. Grant Buckley, he paid up for it. But it had three trials before it had its first start and won there the other day. Robert rode in a trial. Blake Shinn actually rode it in a trial at Scone one day, and Robert rode it in there. It's by out of a mare called Apasu, which I think you'll find the Bateman's actually owned. Clary Connors trained it. It may have may have been the horse that went off in the barriers one day at Rose Hill, and then it was a late scratching and then went to Wyong, I think, when it's first starting to race there.
Yeah, well, I've had a little bit of luck getting on it today, obviously, with Robert not riding. Actually, two of them are ride, Damage and this filly in the last, so I've had a little bit of luck there. From Robert's misfortune at Cessnock, but hopefully he's on the mend and he'll be back soon.
Yeah, I think I read in the paper this morning he'll be back sometime next week. I think he was stood down for 6 days. So hopefully next week Robert will be back, because it's just not the same out there without the old boy, and I can call him old because he is older than me. There's not many.
What's a pick of yours today, Josh? You got a nice book of rides.
Yeah, Blue Phantom racing so well, and I know the horse. I've been on his back. But the filly in the last looks impressive, so
hard
to split those two.
All right, mate. Safe driving, and good luck there today at Scone.
Thanks, guys. Always good talking to you.
Good on you, Josh. Josh Parr there today. And Munster, we'll talk to you later on. Have a top day and a great weekend, mate.
Yeah, and get ready, Sean, after the last meeting covered today.